Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Today we'll be discussing from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's the beginning of the chapter entitled The Chastisement of Junior Haridas. We're not going to deal today with the incident of Junior Haridas. It's very deep and not subject to mundane analysis. There are many levels of lessons to be learned from that section. But today we're going to be speaking about Lord Chaitanya and the different ways he appears amongst his devotees. And why does Lord Chaitanya appear amongst his devotees? He's attracted by their love. This is a very important point for us to remember. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Enjoyer. And what is the most enjoyable thing? Real love. The thing that people so desperately need in this material world, but they can't find. But Lord Chaitanya lets loose a flood of real love. And therefore, you can see what is the real, what's the reality. So let us first meditate on this point, that Lord Chaitanya appears attracted by the love of his devotees. And he appears in different ways to his devotees. The Supreme Absolute Truth is full of variety. Therefore, the Lord doesn't simply do things one way. He can accomplish his purposes many ways, all for the enjoyment and enlivenment of his devotees. We'll begin. In his incarnation as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Sri Krishna descended to deliver all the living beings in the three worlds, from Brahmalok down to Patalalok. He caused their deliverance in three ways. Now, first we need to understand that the appearance of Lord Chaitanya in this world was a cosmic event. It did not simply affect India, or what to speak of, not simply affecting the earth planet. Lord Chaitanya's appearance affected the whole universe. Now, how is that? During the time of his manifest pastimes, residents of other planets would come to wherever Lord Chaitanya was, and they would come disguised as human beings. They would come from so many different planets, so many different types of living beings in the cosmos. They would all come, take the form of human beings, associate with Lord Chaitanya. And that way, they would go back to their planets. In this way, the Sankirtan movement was a universal event. Just like Lord Chaitanya would meet people as he was traveling in South India, chanting, traveling to Vrindavan through Varanasi. Similarly, he would meet people from other planets. Now, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami is going to give us some understanding of the three particular ways that Lord Chaitanya can appear to his devotees. In this way, you'll see the broadness and the strategies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. The Lord delivered the fallen souls in some places by meeting them directly. You see, that wasn't the only way, though. In other places, by empowering a pure devotee. And in still other places, by appearing before someone himself. So, you can remember these three ways how Lord Chaitanya appears. Attracted by the love of his devotees. That last point is always important to remember. First, there's Sakshat Darshan. The Lord is present in the sense that we can understand ordinary presence of someone. In the sense, just like you are present here, I am present here. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya, he can be present. Sakshat Darshan during his manifest lila. Then there is the Avesh, the empowerment of a living entity. When that happens, Lord Chaitanya personally enters the body of a pure devotee. So he reaches out to the Vinisha's souls in that way also. And in number three, there's the Avirbhava presence of Lord Chaitanya, in which, for want of a better word, you could say mystically, he appears at a particular place and then disappears again. Now, because the Lord is non-dual, that means all the ways he appears are equal. Still, there's this distinction between the different ways that Lord Chaitanya can manifest his presence. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered almost all the fallen souls by directly meeting them. He delivered others by entering the bodies of great devotees, such as Nakul Brahmachari. And he delivered still others by appearing before them, as in the case of Nisringananda Brahmachari. I shall deliver the fallen souls. This statement characterizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So please reflect on that mission statement. I shall deliver the fallen souls. This statement characterizes the Supreme Lord. And similarly, it characterizes our efforts. We don't simply want to be Krishna conscious for ourselves, although that's very wonderful. Someone in this day and age of Kali wants to be Krishna conscious. But being Krishna conscious, what does it mean? It means being conscious of the Lord and his desires. We're not simply wanting to believe in God. We want to be conscious of the Lord's desires. That is personalism. So here we find out from Kaviraj Goswami the crux of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's public pastimes. I shall deliver the fallen souls. Let us follow in that footstep. Let us follow in those footsteps and have that same kind of determination. We want to assist the parampara in delivering the fallen souls. Do you have, any of you here have any doubt that people today are fallen? Yesterday when I went for swimming, Bhunga Krishna was telling me about the music that ordinary people listen to on the radio. How disgusting it is. I kept asking, what do you mean? What do you mean? He wouldn't go into any further details. He said nothing was left to the imagination. And this is just a radio station that an ordinary person could just listen to. And still people are wondering, why are people so disturbed and upset, and why is there so much violence, even violence in families, where there is a family, which is not often, and there's violence in the family. This all comes because people are so fallen. A sincere person has to be touched by this. You can't remain hard-hearted and concrete shield around your heart and just let people destroy themselves. You see, even if your punya, your good karma, whatever you had from your past life, is allowing you some stability and security in this life, still, as a gentleman or lady, how can you just remain peaceful knowing that everyone around you is suffering so much? Now, the fact is, materially speaking, you're going to suffer also. But it just may be for a while that there's some interlude. The eye of the hurricane, and the storm winds die down, and you know, your good karma from your past life is providing a lull before inevitable old age and death comes. So some people, they feel kind of comfortable in life for a while. But even if you think that way, even if you think, yeah, I'm feeling kind of comfortable, not too many problems, things have been good the past 10 years, still, how can you remain tranquil knowing that all around you is such misery and suffering, materially and spiritually? We should not become overwhelmed by the intense selfishness of today. This is what happens when everyone is so hung up on gratifying their senses. They become so selfish, devoid of all mercy. From the material point of view, there's so much suffering in the world today. Perhaps you don't see it in New Zealand, but is there, and certainly it's much more obvious in other places. The intelligent person thinks, even though I'm comfortable, or even though it may seem I have a flickering, comfortable association, I can't tolerate it, that everyone else in the world is suffering so much. What am I going to do about this? Of course, materially, there's not much you can do. But spiritually, if by the dedication of your devotional service, you can attract the attention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you're doing the greatest thing for the world. So we're hearing about the methods Lord Chaitanya appears to the fallen souls. We understand his mission, I shall deliver the fallen souls. How are we going to assist in that? That should be our motivating factor in life. How am I going to assist Lord Chaitanya? Will I do it in this style or that style? Okay, whatever, but the point is to assist. And then we are becoming Krishna conscious. We are conscious of what Krishna wants. Purport. The Lord always manifested his Avir Bhava appearance in the following four places. Who knows? First one.
In Nityananda dance?
Wherever Lord Nityananda danced in ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya would suddenly appear. No one else knows nothing? The household temple of Shachimata, his mother. When she would cook for him, he would come and eat all the offerings. Anyone else? Shivas, his house, Shivas Angan, wherever kirtan was performed, Shivas Prabhu's house was the site of the nighttime kirtans. There, the door was locked after the devotees were inside, so that no skeptics or mundane religionists could enter in. As you know, when ritualistic Brahmana became angry at Lord Chaitanya because he couldn't get into the kirtan. Not that he wanted to chant and dance in ecstasy, obviously. No, it's probably there was some motive that, you know, listen, let me see what these strange Vaishnavas are doing. So he couldn't get in. So out of anger, he decided to curse Lord Chaitanya. So he took out his Brahmin's dread and broke it in a standard way of the curse of the Brahmana. And he said, I curse you that you'll never experience material happiness. What was Lord Chaitanya's reaction? Oh, ecstatic! Wonderful, I'll never experience material happiness. So, the third place was that we discussed was the house of Shivas, Shivasanga. And in the fourth place, the house of Raghava Pandit, who was such a dedicated cook for the pleasure of the Lord that the Shastra explains that Srimati Radharani personally cooked in his kitchen. So these four places Lord Chaitanya had his avir bhav. He would suddenly appear. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally present, anyone in the world who met him even once was fully satisfied and became spiritually advanced. Every year, devotees from Bengal would go to Jagannath Puri to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After the meeting, they would return to Bengal. So, Kamaraja Swami describes how from all different parts of India, just like devotees from Bengal would go to Jagannath Puri, similarly from these other parts of India, people would go to Puri, and after seeing the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, they'd be fully satisfied. We already discussed how people came from other planets disguised as human beings. And just by seeing the Lord one time, they all became Vaishnavs. And what was the symptom of their Vaishnavism? Ecstatic chanting and dancing. Praying Sankirtan. The Sankirtan. Ecstatic love of God. Thus, by direct meetings, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the three worlds. Some people, however, were entangled in material activities and could not go. According to Kaviraja Goswami, most people met Lord Chaitanya personally by coming from other planets even. But for some, it didn't work that way, for whatever reason. So, to reach everybody who couldn't come personally to see him, Lord Chaitanya entered the bodies of pure devotees. The Shastra says, thus he empowered living beings, his pure devotees, by manifesting in them so much of his own devotion that people in all other countries became devotees by seeing them. Purport. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anjalila, Kalikalera dharma Krishna nama sankirtana Krishna shakti vinanahe thakavatana. Unless one is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one cannot spread the holy names of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra throughout the world. Persons who do so are empowered, therefore they are sometimes called avesha avatars, or empowered incarnations. For they are endowed with the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We would also like that empowerment. And therefore, if you take your short life very seriously and mold it so that you can become empowered by Lord Chaitanya, then you'll be able to actually help people, do some good for this world. You'll actually be able to show real love. And that is a deep concern for everyone. How can I show real love? How can I be genuine? The normal methods of showing so-called real love that people are aware of obviously are not working. They've never worked. We cannot deny we have this propensity to show real love. It's not just the ladies or the men or the Grihastas. It's also the Brahmacharis. The Brahmacharis have a desire to show real love. And what is that real love? Connecting others to Krishna. There's no experience like that. So many of you know that. Because you're actually loving. You're actually caring. Although there's that method of love and care is not acknowledged by mundane society. Because it's not acknowledged by mundane society, you might not take it as so significant. But no, it is of the utmost significance. It is real love. It's the first time that real love enters into this world. When you meet someone and try to connect them to Krishna, real love is appearing in this world. So we understand the two ways Lord Chaitanya appeared, two out of three. His Sakshat Darshan, his direct manifestation. And then his empowering others, Avesh. And then finally, well, we'll get to finally later, the third method of Avir Bhava. Because Kaviraj Goswami wants to describe the Avesh avatar, how Lord Chaitanya would empower a particular devotee. We're given the incident with Lakula Brahmachari, desiring to deliver all the people of Bengal. Lord Chaitanya entered the heart of Nakula Brahmachari. You see, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead accomplishing his purposes, not only by directly appearing, Sakshat Darshan, but also let me enter the heart of my dear devotee. So wherever that devotee goes, people will be inspired to chant and dance. Nakula Brahmachari became exactly like a man haunted by a ghost. Thus he sometimes laughed, sometimes cried, sometimes danced, and sometimes chanted like a madman. He continuously exhibited bodily transformations of transcendental love. Thus he cried, trembled, became stunned, perspired, danced in love of Godhead, and made sounds like those of a cloud. His body shone with the same luster as that of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he showed the same absorption in ecstatic love. People came from all provinces of Bengal to see these symptoms. He advised whomever he met to chant the holy names of Hare Krishna. Thus, upon seeing him, people were overwhelmed with the love of God. This gives us something to aspire for. Krishna consciousness is about a lifetime career. So, later in your life, you'll be so happy that you so diligently followed your sadhana now. Because, to your vision, it'll take some time to see the full effects. But later, in your 40s and 50s and older, you'll be so happy you didn't waste your youth draining yourself passionately. Actually, as the Shastra says, the more you enjoy sex life in your youth, the more you suffer in old age. Of course, now we're seeing that because young people from their early teens are saturating themselves with illicit affairs, they start to suffer in their 20s. Their bodies start to break down in their 20s. You don't even have to wait till old age. You have to understand how nature works. Just like people lived in denial for so long about global warming. In the USA, you know, the big energy corporations were hiring scientists to say that, oh, this global warming thing is a big hoax, don't worry about it, it's all exaggeration. They're actually paying off scientists to do that. Now everyone's, oh, it looks like it's true. What are we going to do? Well, similarly, people don't understand the destruction caused by sex life. It seems so easy. Free and easy. Let it flow. Just like it seems so free and easy. You know, just let some diesel fumes go into the air. What's the big deal? A car, a motorway backed up with cars. What's the problem? All their exhaust fumes just go into the air and then disappear. What's the problem? Can you see the connection? It's the same thing. Oh, sex life, free and easy. Oh. What's the problem? Afterwards, it's over. It's going to be your business, you know. Even the pseudo Babaji's in Vrindavan, they have that kind of attitude. That's why Prabhupada would be so heavy on their case in his lectures. Not really following precedence. Even becoming so degraded as thinking that they are imitating Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So then, they would say, these pseudo Babaji's in Vrindavan, oh, sex life is like going to the bathroom. That's all. It's just a bodily function. No big deal. You go to the bathroom and soap, assuming. Just a bodily necessity. We're not dividing, so. You go and pass water in your assembly. Do this. Just a bodily thing. But no, there are enormous reactions. But how do you see those reactions? Just like how did people see the effects of global warming? They wouldn't listen. And they were so attached to their lifestyles of destroying the environment, they didn't want to listen. Now they get their results. And, oh my God, what are we going to do? In life in the world, oh my God, what are we going to do? You know the story Prabhupada told about there was a fool sitting on a branch of a tree, and as he sat on the branch of a tree, he was at the same time sawing the limb of the tree. So someone passed underneath and said, you know, you keep doing that, you're going to fall on the ground. The guy didn't listen, the fool didn't listen, kept sawing, and of course eventually the branch broke, he fell on the ground. And he turned to the person who warned him and said, what are you, some kind of psychic or mystic? How did you know? No, that's the way people are today. When they start suffering, then they begin to wonder, what did I do wrong? This is a mode of passion. But when they're into the actual activity that causes the suffering, they can't see. All they do is get caught up in the moment. They don't see the reactions. That's why it's called Maya. You're not allowed to see. Unless you make an appropriate effort. Then you can see. I gave the example in my On the Way to Krishna article when I was in Russia. And the doctors, and they're trying to convince me something was wrong. I said, what do you mean? Basically feel all right. But they were trying to present from their authoritative understanding of it. You may think you feel it right now, but this, there's that, the other. So similarly, in a fool's endeavors to enjoy his or her senses, you know, I feel all good. I feel good now. Relief. Yeah. You don't see that there must be a reaction. It's like the global warming. It's a reaction to misuse of the environment. But people are feeling good. They think sending exhaust fumes into the air. What's a big deal? So now, the developed countries are becoming alarmed. Oh, we have to do something. We have to cut back on our fossil fuels, this, that, the other, whatever. The whole world has to now do something about this. And then what are the undeveloped countries saying? Hey, wait a minute. You know, you guys have already enjoyed. What about us? Now it's our time. How can you tell us to reduce our environmental pollution? You spent 300 years polluting the world, and you've enjoyed. Now it's our time. It's our turn. This is the way evolution works. But the fact is, every action has a reaction. You have to always think about those reactions, and then you won't be fooled by the material energy. So Lord Chaitanya would enter the bodies of pure devotees, and he's done that with Nakul Brahmachari. Shivananda Sen, one of Lord Chaitanya's associates, you know, the one who was the host or the guide for bringing all the Vaishnavas from Bengal to Puri. Shivananda Sen, he would arrange the whole trip. It's a wonderful service for Vaishnavas. You can arrange anything for a Vaishnava. And in this case, Shivananda Sen was arranging the travel arrangements for the Vaishnava party of devotees going from Bengal to Puri. So he heard about Nakul Brahmachari, but he wasn't sure. Is this really true? But people say that Lord Chaitanya has entered into him. Maybe, maybe not. I've got some doubts. So he came up with a spiritual test, a spiritual laboratory procedure for testing Nakul Brahmachari. I'll just stay outside his house once I arrive there. I'll stay outside his house. First of all, if he knows me, if he knows that I'm there, rather, without my knocking on the door, then I'll accept that he's especially in power. But number two is also another criteria. Number two, he should know what my worshipable mantra is. If he can understand those two things without my telling him. I'm not going to tell him I'm present outside his door. I'm not going to tell him my worshipable mantra. Then I'll accept that he's inspired by the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he did that. He went to the home of Nakul Brahmachari and stayed a bit away. And meanwhile, there's a huge crowd of people coming and going. Most of the people couldn't even see Nakul Brahmachari. In other words, there were just so many people around because they all wanted to see Lord Chaitanya. It's like the big day out or something. You know, how are you going to see? You know, if you don't know where your friend is, a friend might come, you don't even know he or she is there. So, meanwhile, Nakul Brahmachari, he told the persons around him, Shivananda Sen is staying somewhere here. Two or four of you, go out and call him. So people began running everywhere, calling in all directions, Shivananda, Shivananda, please come. Nakul Brahmachari is calling you. So when he heard this, Shivananda Sen quickly went and offered his obeisances to Nakul Brahmachari, sat down near him. And Nakul Brahmachari told him, I know you're a little skeptical, but please hear the evidence with great attention. You are chanting the Gaur Gopal mantra, composed of four syllables. Now, okay, no more doubts, right? The Gaur Gopal mantra, four syllables, Radha Krishna. It's the same as the Gaur mantra, Gauranga, same as the Hare Krishna mantra. But Lord Chaitanya told us to chant Hare Krishna. So we are chanting Hare Krishna. Why was Shivananda Sen chanting the Gaur Gopal mantra? He also chanted Hare Krishna too. sometimes the Vaishnavas, they have these private mantras, but since the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, because of the nature of the circumstances we're living in now, everything is kept very focused, very direct. Not so much esoteric practices. Because the Hare Krishna mantra is esoteric enough, actually. And just to keep that point firmly in mind, we just stress the Hare Krishna mantra. Because the way the minds of immature devotees work, as soon as you bring out some little esoteric point, they immediately jump on it and make such a big deal out of it. Should understand his mantra, the Gaura Gopal mantra. Where's my mantra? Maybe it's your secret I'm missing. So just to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur just overturned all of that. Also, because people were becoming, they were exploiting. They were saying, well, I have a secret mantra, or I am in the family line coming from Nityananda, therefore I'm so advanced. And so Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur just threw all that out. So in this way, Sivananda Sen developed full confidence that Nakula Brahmacharya was filled with the presence of Lord Chaitanya. He offered him respect and service. So that is the Avesh avatar, the empowered incarnation. But still, there's one more we haven't heard about. That is the Avirbhav. When Lord Chaitanya would suddenly appear somewhere in those four places that we talked about. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always appeared in four places: in the household temple of Mother Shachi, in the places where Sri Nityananda Prabhu danced, in the house of Shivas Pandit during congregational chanting, and in the house of Raghava Pandit. He appeared because of his attraction to the love of his devotees. That is his natural characteristic. By hearing this, we're getting to know Lord Chaitanya. His statement, I shall deliver the fallen souls. His attraction to the love of his devotees. Now, we're going to discuss the Leela in which the Lord manifested his Avirbhav appearance. And ate the offerings of Nisringananda Brahmachari. So, one nephew of Sivananda Sen, named Srikanta Sen, he went to visit Lord Chaitanya in Puri. And Lord Chaitanya bestowed his mercy upon him. And he also told him, when you go back to Bengal, tell the devotees, don't come to see me in Janapuri this year. Because this year I will personally go to Bengal and I'll meet all the devotees there, headed by Advaitacharya. So tell them not to come. You see, every year the devotees would come to Janapuri for Rathiatra, Chaturmasya, for 4 months, and then they would return. And the Shastra describes that you couldn't imagine the feelings of separation when they were not with the Lord in Jagannath Puri. Both the Lord and the devotees felt such indescribable separation from each other. So now Lord Chaitanya is telling the Srikanta Sen, when you return to Bengal, tell the devotees, don't come this year, because I'm going there. And I'm going in this particular month, December, January. He gave them the name of the month, Pausha. I'll be there. I'll get offerings there. You tell Jagannanda that. Just tell them, no one should come to Jagannath Puri. I'm going there, to Bengal. I'll meet the devotees there. I'll receive offerings there. So when Srikanta Sen returned to Bengal and told all the devotees this, naturally they were very happy. Lord Chaitanya is coming here! Wow! How wonderful! So they began to prepare. In fact, even some devotees, like Advaitacharya, they were just about to leave for Jagannath Puri. But then, when they heard the message, they dropped their plans. So everyone is just staying back, waiting for Lord Chaitanya to come. So when that particular month of Pausha arrived, the devotees, especially Jagannanda and Shivananda, they collected all sorts of paraphernalia for the Lord's reception. And every day, they would wait until evening for the Lord to come. No one would travel at night, so they waited during the day until evening for Lord Chaitanya to come up the road, because all the traveling was by walking. But that whole month of Pausha passed, and evidently Lord Chaitanya didn't come. So Jagannanda and Shivananda became so unhappy. Suddenly, this devotee named Sringananda arrived. And he asked Jagannanda and Shivananda, "Why are you so unhappy? What's going on? Why are you so despondent?" And then Shivananda Singh told him, "Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu promised he would come. Why hasn't he arrived?" When the Sringananda Brahmachari heard this, he said, "Don't worry, please be satisfied. I promise you that in 3 days I will bring him here." So Shivananda and Jagannanda, they thought, well, the Sringananda Brahmachari is full of ecstatic love of God. By his influence and his praying, he's definitely got the ability to bring Lord Chaitanya here. And he's promised he would do that. Okay. This is certain. So, the Sringananda Brahmachari went into meditation. And in his meditation, after his meditation, he told Sringananda Singh, "I've already brought the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to a particular village known as Panihati. Tomorrow at noontime, he's going to come to your home where we are here. So please, go gather all kinds of cooking ingredients. I shall personally cook and offer him food. Don't be doubtful. Be assured, I'm telling the truth. I will bring him here very soon. Bring all the ingredients quickly. I want to begin cooking immediately. Please do what I say." So immediately, Shivananda brought all the cooking ingredients, and Sringananda Brahmachari began cooking early in the morning, cooking many varieties of food, vegetables, cake, sweet rice, other preparations. So after he finished cooking, he made 3 separate dishes for Jagannath deities, for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and for Nrisingadeva, his worshipable deity. So he divided all the food into 3 offerings. He presented the offerings to the Lord and then began to meditate on the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In his meditation, he saw the avir appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He saw Lord Chaitanya come quickly and sit down. But what did Lord Chaitanya do? He didn't just eat his offering plate. He ate all the other offerings too. So, the Sringananda Brahmachari was overwhelmed with ecstatic love just to see Lord Chaitanya. Still, while tears were flowing from his eyes, he expressed dismay. My Lord, what are you doing? You're eating everyone's food. You're not just eating your plate, but you're eating the plate for just Jagannath. You're eating the plate for Nrisingadeva." "I can understand that you're one with Jagannath, so I have no objection to your eating his offering. But why are you touching the offering for Lord Nrisingadeva? If Lord Nrisingadeva doesn't eat today, what am I going to do? If the master fasts, I have to fast. I'm the servant." So, actually, internally, in his heart, the Sringananda Brahmachari felt great jubilation to see Lord Chaitanya eat everything. But just for the sake of his worshipable deity, the Trinity, he expressed in this way. This doesn't make rational sense. These are all the dealings of spiritual love on the spontaneous platform. "You're one with Jagannath. I can understand you're eating Jagannath's offering. But what about my worshipable deity, the Sringadeva? Why do you eat this too? I won't be able to eat also. The master fasts, the servant has to fast." These are just dealings of ecstatic love, though. Now you can understand why So often in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami says that no mundane scholar can understand Chaitanya Charitamrita. They'll just appear to be babble to them. Mystical delusions or something. Of course, we know, as Kaviraj Goswami explains here, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Chaitanya Gosai Jagannatha Narsimha Soha Kichu Veda Nai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's no difference between him, Lord Jagannatha, and Lord Narsingadev. The fact was that Nisringananda Brahmacharya was very eager to understand how Lord Chaitanya is not different from Jagannatha and Nisringadev. And Lord Chaitanya knew that. Lord Chaitanya fulfills the desires of his devotees. He knew. My devotee wants to have deeper understanding of this principle. How I'm not different from Lord Jagannath and Nisringadev. So Lord Chaitanya personally revealed it to him by a practical demonstration. He ate all the offerings. He ate the offerings for Jagannath, he ate the offerings for himself, and he ate the offerings for Nisringadev too. So then, Lord Chaitanya left that house and he went to Panihati, where Raghava Pandit would always prepare varieties of vegetables. Meanwhile, Shivananda Sen is watching Nisringananda, because this avir bhav appearance was only available to Nisringananda. So Nisringananda is watching. Shivananda Sen is watching, wondering, Nisringananda, why are you in dismay? Previously, Nisringananda was asking Shivananda Sen, why are you in dismay? Now, Shivananda Sen is asking Nisringananda, why are you in dismay? And Nisringananda replied, just see the behavior of your Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He alone has eaten the offerings for all three deities, because of this, both Jagannath and Nisringadev remain fasting. So Nisringananda, Shivananda saying, he was wondering, is this just a madness of ecstatic love? Or is this actually a fact? So, while Shivananda Sen was perplexed, Nisringananda told him, bring more food, let me again cook for Lord Nisringadev. So Shivananda Sen again brought the ingredients. He wasn't sure in his mind, is this just, you know, madness of ecstatic love, or, you know, we didn't see Lord Chaitanya. Nisringananda says he came, ate all the offerings for all three deities. I don't know. It's a very advanced devotee, you know, under the power of ecstatic love. Who knows what he's seeing? So the next year, Shivananda went to Jagannath Puri with all the devotees to see Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. And then Lord Chaitanya clarified the whole situation. Lord Chaitanya began talking about Nisringananda Brahmacharya, praising his qualities. And the Lord said, last year, in the month of Posha, when Nisringananda gave me varieties of sweetmeats and vegetables to eat, they were so good that I felt I had never before eaten such preparations. When all the devotees heard that, they were struck with wonder. And Shivananda saying, it was true. It was true. Lord Chaitanya did come. So, just like Lord Chaitanya appeared in that avir bhav manifestation, similarly, he would appear in the household temple of Sachimata every day, and she would cook and offer food. He would also visit Shivas Thakur's house during Kirtan, and whenever Nityananda Prabhu danced in ecstasy, the Lord was present. And also, he would appear regularly at the home of Raghava Pandit. So, what is the conclusion? Lord Gaurisunda is greatly influenced by the love of his devotees. Therefore, wherever there is pure devotion to the Lord, the Lord himself, subdued by such love, appears, and his devotees are, and his devotees see him. This is the power of real love. Premanjana charita bhakti palochina. Santasadaiva abhiyeshu. By love you see. Through real love you actually see. Influenced by the loving affairs of Sivananda Sen, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came again and again. Therefore, who can estimate the limits of his love? Thus, I have described the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyone who hears about these incidents can understand the transcendental opulence of the Lord. During this Nisheha marathon, you can meditate on these transcendental facts. All right, any questions?
Pretty much at the beginning you said that Lord Chaitanya wasn't, his appearance wasn't just known in India, but, and not just on the earth planet, but it's the three worlds.
I also tell it. Why didn't anyone in New Zealand know about it?
How is it that if you had such an impact that, or how can you also give other people more faith in Lord Chaitanya's appearance of the Supreme Lord?
Don't you know about Lord Chaitanya?
I know so.
Yes, so. It was just a short time ago the Lord Chaitanya was present. So, by the traveling of his empowered representative, Srila Prabhupada came to New Zealand. You're seeing things from the viewpoint of ordinary time calculation. But Lord Chaitanya was present privately easily. People only found out about him in New Zealand in 1970, whatever. But that's all part of the wave of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. That Srila Prabhupada came to New Zealand. That these devotees are going out on Sangha. That's all part of the same wave. You understand that? You can't separate, like, it's now and then. No, it's all the same wave coming out of the ocean. So it's a different way of looking at things. You're looking at the same tidal wave, the same tsunami that started 500 years ago. That same tsunami, its effect is still there. So you shouldn't discriminate between the then and the now. You're dealing with the same big wave. Anything else? In other words, you should see the continuity between what Lord Chaitanya did 500 years ago and what's happening now. It's all the same flood of love of God. Otherwise, how else are you performing devotional service to Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna? One minute you are wallowing in the muck of Kali Yuga. Next minute you're chanting and dancing Hare Krishna mantra. That's all the same wave. It's just the wave, you might say, reached different parts of the world at different times, or was activated in different places at different times. But still, it's the same flood of love of God. And as we heard, this flood affected the whole universe. Everything has its right time. I was reading how Srila Prabhupada was speaking in Los Angeles, Sunday festival program. And one old lady was attending, and she was very so much impressed, and her heart was so touched, her intelligence was revived, hearing the message from Krishna. So then she came time for questions, and she asked her Prabhupada, like, why did you come so late? I'm an old lady, you know. What can I do? I can't change. It's so hard. You know, but what you're saying is so wonderful. But why did you come before when I was younger? Why did you come so late? What was Prabhupada's response? Because you came so late. In other words, because you were so late with your desire or receptibility for Krishna consciousness, therefore I came late. In other words, everything is happening at the proper time. In other words, you weren't ready before, so I didn't come before. I know one devotee. Prabhupada came to his university and gave a program. And this person, the lady became a devotee, walked right through the program, right past Prabhupada, and didn't stop. But later, the person became a devotee. And he asked Prabhupada, you know, I was at that program. Why didn't I just walk past, you know? I remember this program being there, but I just paid it no attention. I walked right past you. And Prabhupada said, you weren't ready then. Well, similarly, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj was telling me he was studying at the University of Auckland and was walking to class one day, and he just suddenly looked up and he saw Srila Prabhupada. So he began to follow him. He went to the program. That was the first devotee he saw. I said, he was walking, he was going to class, he just looked. And he followed. Later he went to England, and that's where his spiritual practices root. So as Sankirtan devotees, you'll have that experience also, that suddenly people, just upon coming in contact with you, everything falls into place. It's all Lord Chaitanya's master plan. I remember when one time I first came to New Zealand, I and another devotee, it was Christmas time, and first opened the loft in Ponsonby. We just wanted to get out of the city during the holiday period. So we went to one retreat center in Coromandel. We left on Christmas Day. We were staying in the dormitories of a retreat center. Then one morning I got up and chanted, and I just walked out the door outside. And then this girl, she comes out, and all of a sudden she just looks up and says, oh. Oh. And all of a sudden, some memory came back into the mind. That was Rasyatra. That's exactly how it happened. I just walk out the door. And I was, at that time, I wasn't wearing devotee clothes, because we were, you know, tramping in the mountains and things like that. And so I just walked out the door, and this girl walks by and just, oh. So this is all part of Lord Chaitanya's plan. All part of the same way. Flood of love with God. Anything else?
Mm-hmm. You're talking about in our 40s or 50s now, our old age will be very grateful for the sadhana and that we've done in our
youth. Yeah, all the huge austerities, living with others, being told what to do.
So how do we avoid making compromises in our sadhana? Like for example, today the way the morning's gone for me, I know I haven't got to chant my rounds. And
what were you doing before you left?
I was cooking.
Okay.
But I know when I get a chant later that my mind will kind of like give some kind of allowance and be a little kind of like lax rather than trying to be fully focused that I ordinarily would be when I'm chanting.
So, you know that in advance.
I know that, but
knowing is half the way to victory. At least you know it. And gradually work on it. Chanting is a lifetime career. At least you realize that. The guy was talking to one devotee here. He was telling me previously, some years ago, he had his own style of chanting, which he was quite attached to. If you dared mention something, he would bite your head off. But now, he's chanting the recommended way, and he sees the difference. He sees the result. Assembly. Once you see, then that's half the way to victory. Try to hear the holy name. One day you'll be so happy that the holy name is coming out of your mouth. It's chant to hear. You don't chant to finish your rounds in a certain time. You chant to hear. One day you'll be so happy. I'm so glad I can just say Hare Krishna. We just say Hare Krishna and whatever time it takes without spacing out. That's the time it takes. In the beginning, of course, you'll have that feeling. I gotta get through my rounds and get over with as quick as possible. Crank them out. Gradually, though, you become so grateful simply that your tongue is saying Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. Let me just say Hare Krishna with attention. And whatever time it takes, it takes. These things gradually develop. Your natural attraction for chanting. Sometimes I chant very fast. It just comes out that way. Sometimes slow. I just leave aside time for chanting, and whatever happens, happens. Could be different reasons, external reasons. If you haven't rested enough, sometimes your chanting can be slower. Not that you fall asleep, but just... Or sometimes you just chant slower because that's just the way it's happening. It's just the way the holy name is appearing on your tongue that day. Or sometimes you chant faster. Just that's the way it's happening. You just want to hear. Devotee begs Krishna, let me hear the holy name. Hearing the holy name is seeing Krishna. Therefore, if you're chanting the authorized way, you just try to hear. It's not a question of seeing anything. You don't have to try to imagine something in your mind when you're chanting. At the same time, Lord Chaitanya said there are no hard and fast rules, so we don't persecute devotees if they like to imagine something in their mind while they chant. But if they can't chant without looking at a picture or deities. But the fact is, simply hearing is enough. There's no need to imagine something. Prabhupada would often say that. There's no need for any mental or intellectual adjustment. Just hear, and gradually you'll realize that by hearing, you're seeing. You don't have to artificially manufacture a situation of meditating on something. When you're already meditating on, you already have Krishna, you have His holy name. Why is it that, well, even though I know, even though the Shastra says Krishna is the same as His name, anyway, I need something else while I'm chanting. The better you develop your dependency on the sound of the holy name. That doesn't mean while you're chanting, you can't look at the deities or look at the picture, but you don't, it's all in the mentality. You don't think that I need, you know, that I have less Krishna by chanting, and so I need this, something else to meditate on, make things more complete. No, you already have the complete. So it's all about your mentality. The whole point of chanting with attention in the beginning is so that you gradually understand Krishna is not different from His name. That takes some effort. So don't try to derive various escape routes from dealing with that reality. So therefore, it is always best in chanting just to hear. You'll find that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura gave this same instruction, and Srila Prabhupada also pursued it. Then, by properly hearing, the form, qualities, and pastimes, one after another, will naturally appear in your consciousness. You don't have to artificially strive. It naturally happens. As long as you have to artificially strive to imagine in your mind the form of the Lord, it's not the point. Just hear the holy name, and then the form of the Lord will naturally appear in your mind of its own. That's the proper way to chant. At the same time, we're not going to criticize those who want to be a little creative. But still, there's no doubt the best way to chant is the way that the acharyas recommend. Devotees know they always like to be a bit creative. So their individual flourishes, a little dab of this, a little dab of that. Like in cooking, you know. We'll throw a bit of this in, we'll throw a bit of that in, you know. You just stick to the standard recipe, you'll be successful. The truth is, as Lord Chaitanya said, there are no hard and fast rules for chanting. At the same time, the acharyas have said, this is the best way. You'll find that this way is the best. So we take it like that. Krishna is already present. Why ignore that reality? Oh, I need something else. I need to visualize. You already have Krishna as a sound vibration. That's so in the age of Kali, seeing Krishna means hearing Krishna. If you don't get realization of that point, you're always remain not very advanced in Krishna consciousness. If you just stick to this point, gradually you'll become advanced. All right. So we'll have a quick Prabhupada Guru Puja.